Hello, this is Terry Belf. This is our Sun Teleclass series where we bring in experts and thought leaders to share with us whatever they choose and are passionate about. Well, Peter J. Redding needs no introduction to Sun. None at all. He was unanimously voted back by the trainers. Unanimously. Yep. And he is an MCC. Co-owner of the Coach for Life Institute. He is a thought leader in our profession, a visionary coach since 1995. He co-authored our core competencies. Have you ever seen those? He co-authored them. And he was the first chair of the IRB. How about that? The topic that Peter picked for today, and I do want to welcome you back. I'm so eager to jump in, I forget all the formalities. Welcome back. The topic is self-mastery. How does self-mastery impact, grow, and mature the ICF professional coach in growing their coaching mastery? He also created the Inspired Learning Model. So inspire us, dear Peter. We are ready.
Thank you, Terry, and thank you for the invite back. I feel like I'm with my people here. So I applaud all of you for the mastery that you have already, that you bring to your clients, that you bring to the world and make the world a better place. And I'm here to learn as well. I'm here to learn from you as much as you would like to learn from me or will learn from me. But a couple of definitions first. There's a lot of confusion that I find when I start talking about self-mastery of, that's like coaching mastery. Well, there's an overlap, clearly. But let me define what I believe self-mastery is. Self-mastery is about oneself. So there's a, who am I? Very existential for me. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my contribution? What's my work to do on the planet during this lifetime? And whatever spiritual beliefs you have around that or not is way okay for me. Just, you know. So self-mastery is about oneself. And I can articulate that in one sentence. Do I know thyself? Now, there is a spiritual connotation or an ethereal connotation to the word thy, T-H-Y, as opposed to myself or them, their selves, and so on. So do I know the inner part, the innermost part of me as a human being, as a sentient being? Do I know who that person is inside of Peter? That has always been here now, and always will be. One of the concepts that came early on in coaching, as Terry and I were just reminiscing, is we had the language of a client is held by a coach as whole, perfect, and complete. Yeah. Now, do they have issues? Yes, they're human. Are they struggling with things in life? Probably. Have they learned a lot in their 30, 40, 50 years before coming to a coach? Absolutely. But the question then for me, again, always starts with, do you really know who you are deep down? That what I call core self or original self. So knowing is the first part. The second part is a concept of alignment. Am I living in accordance with, in alignment with, in coherence with that deepest part of who I am? And finally, the third part is, do I recognize and celebrate? Woohoo! I was being my core self, my thyself, fully and completely when I was with my blank, with my family, with my partner, with my colleagues, with my clients. And so that separates it from So that's self-mastery. There's all kinds of other masteries. There's self-care. Yes, really good thing to hydrate, sleep, rest, relax, rejuvenate, etc. All good things. But that's more on the external part of life. Coaching mastery is, am I doing it right? am I showing up and holding a space for my client for them to figure out what it is that they A, want to talk about, B, what they want to do about it, and C, when and where and how they want to go about doing that? Okay? That's at the superficial level of coaching, I think. Necessary. I honor the clients that need to still go through that doingness and becoming more proficient at whatever it is that they're doing. And also part of the coaching mastery or proficiency is, am I supporting my client to get to know themselves better? What's been reduced down to the what and the who. Who are they as a human being as they're going about their doing this, right? So the question that I bring today to each of you is, so what? So what if I take care of myself or I become more masterful as a human being? What impact, if any, does that have on my coaching mastery? And what I hold, and I'm going to do this in the simplest of terms, an ACC is mostly focused on the doingness of coaching. Am I asking the right questions? Am I not stacking them? Am I asking open-ended questions, etc.? Am I staying out of the way most of the time in terms of giving advice or leading or directing the client? So there's a kind of a self-performance issue there. And 90% of what they're up to as a professional coach is in that kind of a realm. 10% of it might be self-mastery. 90%, they're still working on their coaching mastery. At the PCC level, it's about 50-50. Again, my experience with all of my students, myself, coming, kind of maturating through becoming a better and better coach, a more masterful coach. So, yep, I figured out a lot of stuff internally. I bring that self-mastery to my coaching client in a respect of not telling them what to do, having a strong belief that they can figure it out on their own, making sure up front that they are taking responsibility for their own life, and I'm the appropriate kind of support person for them, as opposed to a therapist, as opposed to a mentor, as opposed to a teacher, trainer, parent, etc. And finally, at the MCC level, I believe it's 90% personal mastery, self-mastery, that makes an MCC an MCC. It's okay if the client's not achieving what they want to achieve in the time frame that personally I would like to have seen them achieve it. I can sit back. I am comfortable. I'm relaxed. It's their show. It's their agenda. Even if it takes them 3 times longer than, like I say, they or I would have hoped that they would have achieved something. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them being confused. I'm okay with them exploring any part of themselves that may or may not be germane in my brain to what they originally hired me to do in the first place, is to support them to become a COO, Chief Operating Officer, for them to have a healthy relationship with their partner, for them to go from a mom or a dad of a teenager to now a young adult, make that transition, and a myriad of other topics that they go through. And I can challenge them. As long as I am not bringing my agenda into it, And that's what the self-mastery brings. The more accepting that I have become of myself, the more accepting I am for my clients. There's a direct parallel there, correlation, one-to-one. If I am continuing to judge myself for blank, then all of this becomes autobiographical, and I see that in every single client. It bugs me. Why are they doing this? Why are they being this way? Why are they not getting it? And I can turn that right around and say, in fact, there's a great exercise. Well, maybe we'll do that in a minute here. But the more that, the bigger space that I hold for myself, Peter Redding, and the thyselfness of Peter Redding, my creator's original creation of Peter Redding, and I can hold a bigger and bigger space of nurturing that, opening that space up, is the exact amount of space that I can open up to a client. So they talk about deeper things. They talk about things that are more raw to them because they know from my beingness, they're safe with me. I don't even have to say it. I can simply, you know, so what do you want to do with that? How do you want to be with that? And allow them to expand to their comfort level of exploration. Or not. It's too raw, Peter. I can't get into that right now. I just can't do it. Okay. What else would you like to talk about? I don't think I could have done that as an ACVC. Because time is money. We got to get stuff done. I'm not a good coach unless you progress. So I'm going to open it up to each of
you. Uh-oh. Connection issue.
Yeah.
For those listening on the recorder, we just had a technical issue to deal with.
He's giving himself a huge space now.
Maybe this is intentional. How can we be thyself with each other?
Without talking, without having to say something. Mm-hmm.
What does this interruption invite us to explore?
How does this interruption invite us to explore? One curiosity I have is, at what point in my career did I start to coach from my thyself?
I'm lucky we are. We don't have this word in Hebrew. Do we? Thyself? No?
Yeah.
Okay. I blew the circuits, apparently.
Well, that's...
Dalia, I think we do have probably a biblical something.
So I was just about ready to ask you, each of you, a question of what have you noticed about your own growth as a human being? And how or what part of that has come in to support your coaching mastery?
If I may just say, Peter, in this space you gave us, I raised the question, at what point did we begin coaching from thyself self?
Great question.
That's
great question, yeah.
I don't know my answer.
And so what are your answers to that?
I don't know when, but I know, I know that if I look back at my early first 2 or 3 years, I wasn't yet.
Yeah.
What do others think or remember?
Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, the question is, I don't think it's 100%, 0%, and then one day it switches over. For me, it was a gradual thing where I was more, I was coaching from a place of performance. I was coaching from a place of being self-absorbed. Am I doing a good job? What's the next right question? All those kinds of things that we see in young coaches. And here's my hypothesis is that a coach or a human being, if they continue to stay in that space of self-absorption, then they'll never be able to achieve an MCC level coaching. Yeah, that has to be kind of set aside or dealt with in terms of my job is a space holder. My job is to absolutely categorically in my bones know that this client has their own best answer, even when they don't. Maybe even especially when they don't. And they're begging me to say, Peter, for God's sakes, you've done this job for 20 years. Tell me how to do it. What options do you think are best? Blah, blah, blah. Now, as a mentor, I might share that, but as a coach, I'm not sharing that because if I do that, I continue to spoon feed them and I'm not supporting their development as a human being or as an executive for that matter.
Peter, so the question, three things here, two hands up and one comment in the chat. Before you go too far afield, because it might be relevant to an earlier part. In
perfect,
the chat,
thank you.
Alfonso says, when I started putting true presence in front of any other issue. That's Alfonso. And Dolly says, when I revealed my life purpose. And Michael says,
yes. When I became curious to how the client sees things. Mm-hmm. So when I started, I always say, put on the lenses of the client and try to view the world, the situation, the discussion from behind the eyes of the client and asking myself, well, if I were, maybe this is knowing myself. If I were seeing it their way, what would I need to know? What would I need to do? What would I need to understand? What would need, not want? And then the summary phrase I learned was become curious for the client. But in subsequent years, I use a partnering expression, become curious with the client. Mm-hmm. And so it all kind of shifted when, you know, my reality was, you know, my brain is still behind these eyes that I'm trying to see the client's world with. So there's a dance of what was, would the client need? What would I need if I were the client? Where is the insight, the self-awareness going? I think I over answered the question.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Michael. There's a sense of emergence that the MCC coach has with a client, has a capacity to do with a client by holding the client's agenda, by holding the truth of who the client really is, remembering that truth. Even if the client has forgotten it, they've gotten hit upside the head metaphorically in the last 2 weeks. They've forgotten that they are a resourceful, amazing human being. And I have a privilege to be in that space of magnificence and remind them of that. But then merge with that, partner with that. And also have the authority, not the authority, that's the wrong word, but have the wherewithal to frame the questions that I ask them in their own language. And someone mentioned life purpose, like, okay, so to what degree is this aligned with your life purpose? Not mine, not the company's, not your family's, but yours. And I can guarantee you they haven't asked themselves that question, maybe ever. But I am in service to their beingness. Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you know, Peter, that we won't start working with someone either as a coach or a trainer, educator, until we go through the life purpose process with them?
Amen.
That's always been my standard and the way I teach. I don't know if others have picked that up who have not trained.
I endorse that 100%. It's kind of like I'll look at it this way. If that's not done, then you're both lost in the wilderness trying to be and meet somebody else's criteria of who you have to be, what you have to do, what do you need to learn to be successful or to be accepted in this outfit, whatever this outfit might be, company, family unit, etc. There's no grounding point. So I look at life purpose, I look at core values. Again, not cultural values necessarily, or societal values, but core values. And the third one is their natural gifts and talents. It's kind of like the way I say it, it's like God gave me a toolkit to be able to accomplish my life purpose. What's inside that toolkit? It's different for every person. So if I can get to those three things right off the bat, even before I start coaching, and encourage my students to do the same, you know, have that foundation session or that discovery session, whatever you call it, and so that they can articulate those things, and again, mostly for the first time in their life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they define themselves as my Caucasian self, my culture self, my organization self, my gender self, my when I was born in, you know, whatever generation it happens to be self. That's still not getting at the core of things. So what other things in terms of how does this self-mastery, your own self-mastery, play into the types of clients that you work with? Let me ask that question.
I'll start. I experience mastery if I'm learning at least as much as the client. I mean, truly. If I have a meeting where I don't feel I've learned anything, I don't think I've offered my mastery.
Yeah. Michael?
Well, when I first started coaching, I had clients showing up complaining. And then something in me changed, and my clients stopped complaining when they showed up for coaching.
Okay. I love it. Absolutely right. I attract the clients that I am.
Yeah.
And you can say that any way you want, but it's I found that to be 100% true. 100%. Yeah. So much to the point is that if my clients are growing faster than I am, then they need to leave because I'm no longer serving them. If I'm growing faster than my clients, then they're not ready for the work that I ate in the space that I hold for them. And so again, they need to leave and find somebody else that's coaching down here at this level. It's not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just, that's my experience. Yeah, Michael.
Well, when I was at the PCC level, I had a trainer who said something very, what you just said, but I want to put his words on the table and see how much we agree with it, because I don't know if I agree with it. He said, you will never coach a client more mature than you will.
Amen.
Because if they are more mature, they will fire you.
Yep.
And find another coach who is equally or more mature than they are.
Yes. 100% accurate, true, my experience. Yes. Jerry's got something he wants to contribute. Yeah?
A question, Peter. Because I understand when you said when the client grows more than you, mm-hmm. they have to leave because they grew faster and you cannot get their pace. I was surprised when the coach grows more than the client because my thoughts at the moment is that the coach, even if he's grown more than the client, should be able to adapt their coaching to the client they have. So this is the question now.
Yeah, no, it's a good insight, actually. And yes, you can, but it's very unsatisfying. Here's a different perspective I'd like to put onto that, is that to the degree that I've grown as a human being, I am prepared to work with other people that are at that level. So if I'm spending time, I don't mean it sounding, you know, judgmental, but anyhow, if I'm coaching people that are not ready to grow at a faster rate or come up to this level of consciousness or awareness or self-mastery, then here's the way I look at it is I'm not available to work with somebody that is. It's like they're taking up space in my consciousness, my awareness, my coaching practice. And nothing wrong with them. And I don't judge them for being, I was there for a long time in life. In fact, lower. Lower than low. Oblivious comes to mind. Unconscious comes to mind. Miserable comes to mind. So I have huge compassion regardless of where the individual is at. But here's a key question that I continue to ask with any kind of a client or any kind of work that is brought to me. And I ask myself the following question. Is this my work to do? Not is it worthwhile work to do? Is this my work to do?
With so much wisdom, our vibrations are so high that we literally are using the power of our technology, using it more than it's capable of carrying. That's my diagnosis right now. So we have another technical difficulty for those listening. Peter will be back in just a moment.
It's an opportunity to explore his question. Is this my work to do?
Mm-hmm. I'll make it more confusing if I may, because the question I ask is this my stuff or the client's stuff? And then I call it that way.
You blew the circuits again, Terry, as you were talking about the energy.
Oh, you heard me. Okay. Yeah.
I did.
No, I agree with that.
Surprise. I do.
Wonderful. And eventually, we will just be here together with no circuits needed.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
So I'm curious of the ones we have not heard from yet in terms of as you've grown personally. You become more comfortable in your own body. How or what impact have you noticed about your coaching in terms of who you coach, how you coach, the effectiveness of your coaching?
Can you please repeat the question? Because I think I didn't understand it.
Okay. As you have continued to grow your own self-mastery, in other words, to be more and more comfortable inside your own body, how has that impacted your coaching mastery?
Thank you.
I never know how long to wait till someone speaks. Someone was going to speak now.
Yeah, I was going to say that to me, it changes, it keeps changing the experience I have with clients in a improving way, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because working from the more comfort zone allow me to express better what I can offer.
Yes, yes.
When I am in a not comfort zone, I deal with other things which occupy my energy.
Excellent insight. Excellent insight. Yeah. Yeah. When I'm comfortable in my own body, I ask better questions. Literally. Things come to me. I'm more intuitive. I don't consider myself an intuitive, but I think all human beings have access to intuitive streams of consciousness. And I'll come up with a question that did not come from my brain. It's organic. It's flowing. It's easy. It's powerful. And it's not long-winded. Yeah, all of that.
Alfonso has a very interesting perspective. From my point of view, mastery is something I don't own. I can feel it as an after effect.
Interesting.
Would you like to say more?
Yeah. Michael?
Peter, yeah, what you just said, when that question, observation, statement, whatever, you know, pops up from within you from somewhere which you don't know. What I've noticed is the grammar is usually terrible. You know, the question pops out with atrociously bad grammar. And it is exactly perfect for the client. And despite the fact that it makes almost no sense linguistically, it hits the client exactly where it needs. In other words, as self-monitoring, I notice when my question or observation pops out with very bad grammar, just to let it go, because it's probably better than anything I could have fixed if I tried to do it right.
I love that observation.
Both in English and German, Michael? I'm just curious.
I'm not qualified to judge the correctness of my German, but because I know whenever I say something in German, the grammar's going to be bad anyway, so I don't even worry about it anymore.
Well, very early on, I would say the second year of coaching, I would at times just feel so grateful to the point of almost crying in a coaching meeting. And I would look up and just say, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me this coaching in my life. I'm so grateful. And then something would come in. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I just had an intuition or something. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it might provide value. Can I share it? And the client would say, of course. And I would share it. And I talked with someone who's not a coach and said, what is happening to me? I'm getting messages, information from somewhere. And he said, oh, you're channeling. I said, oh, no, I'm not a channeler. I don't do that stuff. He said, look it up, Terry. It's exactly what you described. So when I had goosebumps, when I am fully aligned in my body, I had to learn the language for what was happening with me. When I'm fully aligned in my body, which extends all the way to my chakras and all that, things come to me that are useful.
Yep. You know, Peter, some of these feelings of mastery and of self-mastery, they might, at least in my experience, and without paying attention, I've been coaching now about 10 years, which I'm very, very, very grateful for. And apparently I was doing a lot of that before I knew it was coaching. I was just doing it differently. But it comes in waves. So what do I mean by waves? So it can be, it can change in the course of one meeting. It can go from, I feel comfortable in my skin and now I don't, and now I am. Or it can be a wave in between different coaches. So now I am lucky to have a lot of coaches, and I'm blessed with that. And I see that with some, in 5 minutes, we go deep, deep, deep and powerful. And with some others, it's like, not that there is no entrance, not that there is a reluctance or objection to something, or that they are waiting to be challenged, or that I, or it is sometimes that apparently they don't know not what they want or where they want to go. They don't know what they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, so what I'm saying is that, first of all, I feel that I have a long ways to go to self-mastery. Not to say coaching mastery, there's a long way to go there, even longer, and even to self-mastery. So sometimes I feel very much in my skin, very much in my pond, very much in my tennis court. And then we can dance and do great stuff and interesting stuff. And sometimes I have a client who calls our sessions classes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I'm teaching. I am a teacher, yes. I'm a teacher kind of guy, but he... It's like as if he doesn't get what he can do with this wonderful space. And it so happens sometimes, maybe more, with clients that come from platforms where they get this as a benefit from the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not necessarily committed. It's not like if you seek a coach and you paid even $1 for it, and you come to coaching, you as a client, you will try to get ROI for that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't pay a dollar and you have this opportunity either to talk English or Hebrew, or just to have somebody that listens to you, you might sometimes call it as a class or as a something or as a meeting and not necessarily as coaching. And, and that's where I sometimes struggle whether to just wait out until something comes or in what ways to challenge. So what I'm saying is that a lot of times it's like this, and it's not necessarily always like this, in terms of my self mastery and my coaching mastery as well. I don't know if I made myself clear.
Yeah, no, I think that's very clear. And I would agree that it's not been a continuous upward slope, you know, linear slope for me as well. I think both coaching mastery and self-mastery is something that continues until you die. So, and then sometimes it's a bumpy road along the way. Yeah. The part about the person that is not paying for it, is there just obligatory checking the box? I need to go to get coaching in order to be considered in the pool of potential high potentials or whatever.
It's not in terms of they have to do it. It's something they got. They even enjoy it, and sometimes it's great, but sometimes it's just there.
Yeah, I would take the opportunity. It's a little off topic, but I would challenge that individual. I mean, do you want to be here, or do you really want to be here? Yeah.
Okay.
We've had a couple of hands up in the air here for a long time. Michael, we've talked to you a bit. I'm going to come back to you, but we'll see how Alfonso has joined us here with a question or a comment, Alfonso.
If you allow me, this is a comment at the beginning and a question at the end.
Okay.
I feel and the truth of knowing yourself, knowing your mastery leads to masterful coaching. And at the same time, I have experienced for now 15 years trainer that students are able to do masterful things right from the beginning. When they decide to do them, to be themselves and to do what comes out from them. So, sorry to criticize Nahum. We are all far from mastery. Mastery is not a goal to get, from my point of view.
Yeah.
Is something that we may enjoy. When we are in that zone in which we are committed to be ourselves.
Yeah.
Regardless of how far, how deep we know ourselves, we know thyself. So please clarify to me, what is the relationship of knowing myself? And behaving as I am authentically.
The connection for me is that the more I know myself, my true self, the less judgments I have about myself, the more tolerance I have with myself, I am more patient with myself. All of those things are byproducts of accessing living in alignment with as best I can as a human being. I still screw things up. I still forget. I get angry. I have all the human emotions that everybody else has. And having said that, I am a more compassionate human being now than I was 10 years ago, than I was 10 years before that, and then so on and so forth. It spills over into my coaching is then I can also bring that greater sense of compassion, patience to my client and to my client's space. I will conjecture the thought of the coach that has become masterful, whether they have an official MCC or they are very senior PCC. That's semantics for me, but the person that knows themselves deeply and honors themselves, they're more comfortable with silence, as an example. I can be silent with my client that is pondering for 4 minutes, which is eternity for most people. And at an ACC level, I was not able to do that. I had to come in and interrupt. I'm more compassionate about their setbacks. I can get into their mind, kind of like what Michael was talking about earlier, in terms of I become an empty vessel, taking all of Peter Redding's ideas, beliefs, challenges, daily, whatever's going on for my, in my life, and then fill myself up like that empty vessel with my client's core values, my client's natural gifts and talents, my client's life purpose, and embody that prior to a coaching session with them. One of my clients early on said, Peter, when I come into a session with you, it's like coming home. And I have more of an appreciation of that now than I did even then, because I was the embodiment of her core self, her thy self. And I was holding that preciously for her to come into, to find her answers. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but this has been, it's not linear for me. It's mastery is a journey, not a destination. I think you probably all have heard that one. Mm-hmm. And that has certainly been my experience.
And maybe mastery is something we may have accidentally just because of our way of being without any awareness of ourselves.
Unconscious mastery. Yes, I think it goes through the same things of, you know, consciously incompetent, right?
Yeah.
To consciously competent to finally unconsciously competent. So there's a progression of some of these things I have now become. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to think about it a whole lot. But there's still a maintenance. There's still, I'm human. I get pushed back. I get smacked upside the head again, metaphorically. And it's always, it's for me, you know, I'm 74 years old. I plan on living another 34 years. So I plan on 111. Terry and I have talked about this. We're going to both be 111.
Right. Okay.
So I got a long ways to go yet.
Me too.
I will be happy to meet you then.
I went back to thinking about a newborn baby. And the way I think I hold it is that is perfection. That is mastery. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I believe we come in with mastery and have lessons to learn that bring that mastery back to us. That's it.
Yeah, and in the interim, what happens is that child becomes socialized.
That's the problem.
And so we have parents that tell them who they are and what we want them to be and how they need to grow up and how they need to behave with their brothers and sisters and the community and at restaurants. And so most of that becomes unconscious because I'm 2 years old. I mean, I'm not going to debate with my dad and say, well, Dad, just because you're a Yale graduate and smarter than me and 25 years older than me. Now it's just like, okay, I kind of rely on them for food and and shelter. So I just take it all in. And then at 35 or 37, it was like, wait a minute. Do I even believe this? Is this my belief or is this an adopted belief that I have acquired from university, from socialization, from television, from media, from friends, from colleagues, from blah, 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 everybody else around me? So there's a lot of decluttering that is part of, for me, my mastery journey.
Right. So life is about unlearning.
Whole bunch of it. Yeah. I see we have about, 7 minutes left. Michael, you had your hand up for a long time there. I want to come back to you if there's anything that you wanted to share or.
Well, actually, I forgot to put it down. My hand. But in the meantime, someone asked me in the chat about language learning.
Yeah.
You know, my statement that when I don't care, I became better in my journey to learning German. I failed German in university 3 times. And then I went to Germany and I just said, okay, whatever comes out of my mouth comes out of my mouth. And within 2 weeks, I was speaking relatively fluently.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I wanted to come back to the neuroscience on that. It's called limbic lock because I was afraid to speak incorrectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what you just said, between 2 and 12 years old, we teach our children a lot about what they're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And so they develop a system which usually inhibits their learning for the rest of their lives on avoiding mistakes.
Yeah.
Versus what you're expressing in this session today is becoming free of all of that, going with the flow, going with mastery at a level where we are, what is the word you use? Decluttering. Mm-hmm. Because and when fear comes into our brains, we get limbic lock. If it goes to the extreme, we have the mental cognitive capacity of a rhesus monkey. You know, we become incapacitated.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it is largely in this flow of mastery coaching, the ability to just go with the flow and allow your client to go with the flow so that everybody's in harmony without fear, maximum trust, and the highest potential for learning.
Beautifully said. So here's one last nugget I'm going to add to that kind of concept, because I also have done a lot of work in the world of learning with educators, school systems, etc. And what you said is absolutely true. Most education today worldwide is focused on what the student got wrong, so they could go back and correct it. I flipped that upside down and said, what if we were to acknowledge them for everything they got right? And some early studies that were done at Johns Hopkins University, turn of the century, around 2005, was that when a group of students are acknowledged for what they got right, the learning curve accelerates exponentially. They learn more information in a shorter period of time because it's been reinforced. Now, let's bring this back to self-mastery. Am I still looking in my life what's going wrong? Oh, crap, that went wrong. Oh, crap, that went wrong. Oh, now I've got to correct that. That's broken down, the blah, 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 blah. Or do I wake up and say, dear God, thank you for my home, the roof over my head, the food I have in the refrigerator for lunch, my health, my friends, my profession, and celebrate that. That self-mastery comes, again, directly into my questioning and my mindset with my client of this went wrong. Okay, I hear that. And we can talk about that as much as you want. But first, tell me what went right. What about that situation, that employee situation, and that investor situation, that whatever product developments, what's going right? Things change in their brain and they're more resourceful because of exactly what you just said. Oh, first of all, it's kind of like the daily news. We hear 98% of what went wrong in the world, maybe 2% of what went right. So everybody in the world thinks that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, in some places it is. But in other news, 7.3 billion people hugged their kids this morning, kissed them on the forehead, sent them to school or out to play, and are happy people. So, Terry, I'm going to turn it back over to you to wrap it up.
Well, I just want to say, I remember, if you still do, you had a nonprofit organization on positive, what's the title of it?
The Inspired Learning Model.
Say it again?
the inspired learning model, or
the inspired learning model, because you did this for ACTO.
Yeah.
This was awesome. Oh, Peter.
Yeah.
Peter, that's all I need to say.
Thank you. I'm happy with him.
You've done it again.
It was very inspiring. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
Very, very welcome.
Thank you for your contributions to the evolution of humanity. That's it.
There's, I'll give you one last thought or thing. There's something beyond mastery. I did a little research on this about a year ago. I think it's a Taekwondo or one of the martial arts that talk about, you know, like black belt and green belt and yellow belts and all that. The master's master is called the lineage holder. The lineage holder. In other words, they embody the philosophy of that craft, that intelligence, that whatever mindset. And I would propose to you that everybody that's sitting in this room right now or has been under the tutelage of Terry is a lineage holder. You are the educators and the embodiment of what coaching is and can be, even when you're not coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are you right? The word lineage? Can you say it again?
Lineage, like a lineage of grandparents, parents, children. The lineage holder.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Must go. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Terry. Love ya.
Thank you, Peter.